Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. I'm your host, Damon, and today I'd like to welcome to the show, Lauren Tangen. Welcome to the show, Lauren.
Thanks, Damon. Yeah, it's good to be here. Thanks for asking me.
I've been looking forward to having a conversation with you on the podcast for a long time. So here we go. So, Lauren, what's something that God's been highlighting to you recently?
That's a good question. I assume you kind of start most podcasts with this, and so it's a little unrelated to maybe the rest of what we're talking about. But so long story short, COVID was hard, I think, for a lot of people in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
And I think for me, one of the things that I started experiencing, COVID, you know, changes at work, becoming a dad, all these things kind of coming together, summer 2021, I felt like work started to be a really challenging thing for me. Other things as well, but specifically through the lens of work. One of the things that led to was talking with Mindy, my wife, and figuring out, okay, you know what we need is we need kind of a reset. We need at the time we called it a retreat. So this was summer 2021. We quickly planned out and said, you know what, let's go take a retreat. We'll go to Idaho for a week. It'll be great. It was really, really good. Some good insights for us came out of that. And one of them was that we then wanted to take a bigger, not retreat, but sabbatical. And so we actually just got back. We took a sabbatical for a month, for the month of May. We were in Portland, Oregon. And they say that a trip with a toddler or with kids is not a vacation, it's a trip. And that's exactly what it was. It was awesome having Hudson, but it was different than our normal vacations. And that was the intention.
Yeah.
We wanted to go to Portland for a sabbatical. We wanted intentional time away, longer than we normally get, to sit and sort of do life away from home, for me specifically, without work. So we were there for a month, and you know, after 2 weeks, it was kind of like, yeah, we've done everything we wanted to do here. And that's where it felt like, you know, we started to sit, you know, with the Lord on some things, just naturally, not even, you know, super intentionally, just kind of naturally happened. I spent quite a bit of time hiking and sort of trying to trail run by myself and just being still, which will actually come up later with the Lord in that.
Well, something else that might come up later now that you're trail running is we might invite you to join the Ragnar Trail team or something.
Let me be clear. I ran about one of maybe 10 miles over the course of a week and ended up coming home with a very sore back. So maybe we'll hold on the Ragnar for a little bit. But coming home, so there was really good being away. Coming home, essentially the thing that I feel like God has been putting on my heart that I bring up Portland because it was important, I think, to have that time to sort of let things settle. And in the quiet, I think things settled. And then when we came home, it became easier to sort of have some of these conversations with Mindy, specifically about what I was feeling about work. And I think work is sort of, in my case, a microcosm of my larger walking through life. I think it's one area. And what I realized in talking to Mindy, I came home one day from a walk back now, you know, back in Southern California. I realized that I had started saying no to a lot of things. COVID, becoming a dad, growing in my marriage. I think COVID accentuated and I started to see my role in these different areas of life as a protector of our family, a protector of our home, a protector of our time, protector of these relationships that I care so much about, specifically with Mindy and with Hudson. COVID accentuated all that through isolation. And I think in work, at times with church, you know, maybe with friendships or other relationships, I think I had become very used to saying no to protect what was at home. And that was a realization that I had, and that I think to align my giftings with what the Lord is doing, now is a season to say yes more. So I think a lot of people struggle with saying yes too much. And that was definitely something in my past. But it's interesting to be at this point now where it's like, you know what? I think it's good to say yes and to take some risks, to take some leaps, to take leaps at work, to take leaps, you know, at church, with friendships, whatever it may be, to say yes to what the Lord is doing and see what he does from there.
I mean, okay, so things are getting highlighted as you're talking. So one of the things that, you know, for a lot of people, they are used to saying yes to a lot of things. And there's other people that have been in seasons of saying no. So what are some things that you feel like the Lord's been showing you and how to find a balance between what to say yes to and what to say no to? Or is that something you're just still trying to figure out?
That's a good question. Let me process externally for a second. I think I was saying yes the most in the years between college and getting married. Everything ministry related, work related, it was all yes at that point. I had no, you know, I had no family obligations. I was just yes, like let's do it. And that started to change when we got married. But I think it kind of happened, you know, the saying no, realizing that I had been saying no to a lot of things without me realizing. And it kind of took a time of settling and then spending time intentionally talking with Mindy, the person who knows me best, to highlight that. So I think if I'm looking at it for myself, ultimately, that is for the Lord to highlight in our hearts and to highlight to us what is a yes and what is a no. Because there should be both, right, to a number of things.
Yeah.
And for me, I think it involved being still and then seeking to connect with Mindy and being, you know, kind of open about where I was because she knows me best. And to kind of process through that together.
Yeah. Because I think that's a hard thing is trying to find that discernment and trying to find that balance of when to say yes and when to say no, especially for people when we have that momentum, right? It's like the momentum of, I'm a yes person, so I just say yes to everyone. But, you know, taking that time, like you said, to slow down, to be still, seek the Lord, is this really something that I need to say yes to? Or is this something that I need to say no to? Yeah. And I think that sometimes that's hard because we get in these momentums of just like, yeah, I'm a yes person or, oh no, I'm a no person. I say, you know, and sometimes the Lord might want us to say yes to things and sometimes the Lord might want us to say no.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's, we all operate in different seasons and it was surprising to me to realize, whoa, I've been saying no to a lot because I want to protect these boundaries of our home, right? From work creep, from ministry creep, whatever it may be. Mainly, it's almost entirely work for me at this point that I'm kind of unpacking. But yeah, it was surprising to me to be like, oh, this is a part of what is happening. And this is something that I can tangibly give to the Lord. I can talk through with Mindy and be like, this is what I'm thinking. Is it the right thing to pursue differently? And then we can always keep checking in and seeing if things have swung too far the other way and whatever it may be.
Yeah, but I also think that, you know, Mindy and Hudson will also appreciate your role as the protector and feeling safe and protected by you. I think that's an important part of our role as fathers is to make sure that our family is able to feel that safety and comfort and to be able to have some of those conversations even. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I agree. It's a privilege.
Okay, so Lauren, I feel like on the podcast, one of the things that we're in is we're in a season of being intentional, especially being intentional about our spiritual growth. And when I think of someone like that, you're one of the first people that comes to mind. So one of the things I wanted us to be able to talk about, something that Pastor Barry has been highlighting as a staff is that, you know, during the week, we have 168 hours and, you know, we're at church maybe two or three of those. So for us, you know, our faith is supposed to be something that is throughout the week. So how are some, what are some things that we're doing to fill the other 165 hours to take care of our spiritual growth and be intentional about things? So you're someone that I always have felt is strong in that area. So I wanted to bring you on to the show. So Lauren, what are some things that you've been doing to be intentional about your spiritual growth?
Yeah, that's a good question. The 168 hours is convicting. And it's, as I think about this, and I think as I've reflected on this more over the years, and just changing churches and changing, you know, over the years, getting married, having a kid, how much time you actually can spend mm-hmm. in fellowship. Mm-hmm. You know, when at my previous church, when I was at Wintersburg and I was in college, be home from the summer or just graduated college and working, we'd be at church, I don't know, 15 hours a week. Mm-hmm. I mean, we would end up there four nights a week and we'd be there all day Sunday. And so in a lot of ways, that was satisfying a big part of our time, how we spent our time in yeah. relationship with the Lord. But that just changes. And I think that that's normal. And I think that the normal Christian experience is to have, you know, 2 to 3 hours on Sunday and maybe a small group or mm-hmm. a meeting during the week. And so you're looking at, I don't know, 3 to 5 hours, 3 to 6 hours of intentional community time with other believers. And I think as I get older, I realize more and more that if church is the only place that we go to drink of the Lord's goodness, we're going to live a really parched life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I saw this quote recently and I thought of it today as I was thinking about this. It's how we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives. And I think sometimes we get so focused on the big things of our faith, being younger, what's the next mission trip or what's the next ministry opportunity or what's the next camp I'm going to be a part of? What are the big things that I'm going to do as opposed to the daily little things? Because ultimately, I think those daily little things added up become the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. What we do on the day-to-day is ultimately the biggest factor of what our relationship with the Lord looks like. So I think the questions I'm asking myself and that we'll talk about is, you know, how are we going to love Jesus today? And what does it look like to do these things? What things are a part of our day that reflect our love for the Lord? And what does it look like to go through our day doing our normal things as worshipers of the Lord? Mm.
Yeah, I think that's something that has been highlighted for the past couple episodes, is just people trying to incorporate more of the Lord in their everyday life and how they're, you know, I remember Todd had mentioned, you know, when he's gardening, he'll put worship music on and he'll just try to marinate in that and soak in and really try to spend that time while he's watering his plants as his prayer time and time where he's spending with the Lord and things like that. I feel like we are in this season where also for me personally, I feel like the Lord is really highlighting, you know, there's so much more going on that I don't see that I need to be more aware of what's going on in spiritual, you know? And so I feel like that's something that he's really been highlighting to me personally. And so I'm excited to have this conversation with you too. Are there any, you know, spiritual disciplines that you practice regularly? Are there any things that you would encourage other people to be able to join in on?
Yeah. So this was actually, I was really interested that you asked me to come and, you know, talk openly about this topic with you, because probably a year ago, maybe more than that, I'm trying to remember where we were living when I listened to it, I stumbled upon a podcast from one of the founders of the Bible Project, Tim mm-hmm. Mackey, not their main Bible Project podcast, but he had another one, Exploring My Strange Bible. And there was a 3-episode series in it called Practicing Faith. Mm-hmm. And I remember listening to it and it was very impactful. And he had 6 main points across these 3 episodes. The practices were community and solitude, feasting and fasting, acting and praying. And what is interesting about these is that each of them, they go together, and each of them, or in each pair, there is one that is meant to be communal and mm-hmm. one that is meant to be alone, that you do alone with the Lord, right? Solitude, fasting, and praying. And so to me, those are three major spiritual disciplines, spiritual practices that I think are important to the everyday life, the how we spend our days of a believer. Personally, I think right now I am thriving more in solitude and praying, fasting. I've tried it. It's hard for me to kind of get in the groove of, and like, I've tried a couple times and I just felt really hungry. I didn't sense anything different other than being hungry. And maybe that's part of the main point in the mm-hmm. beginning. But I think those are three that I want to make a regular part of my daily life, both now and going forward.
It's interesting because in our last episode, Anna talked a little bit about fasting, and today actually I'm fasting too. So
there you go.
It's interesting that, you know, this term fasting has been coming up on the last few episodes. And I feel like, you know, maybe that's something that the Lord is actually encouraging us to take in as a part of our regular Christian walk, is to participate in fasting. So maybe one of the upcoming episodes, we'll have to do an episode on fasting, and what does that actually mean, and what does it actually look like, and what are some ways that we can do that in a healthy way. So good idea for a future podcast, Lauren.
Yeah, I from a fasting perspective, like I said, I've done it a few times. A couple major points in our life, you know, turning points, when I've heard of other people, you know, do a fast, and have done it a few times in sort of regular life of, you know, I'm not going to eat until dinner on a work day, or, and I can see how committed practice to that drives you to recognize your need and submit that need to the Lord. And I know what a major tenet of biblical faith fasting is, and I do think it gets glossed over a little bit. From a solitude and prayer standpoint, I think those are probably a bit more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, I mean, solitude, that was basically one of the main purposes of our sabbatical to Portland, to Oregon, is the solitude, really the quiet. And we were with each other, so it wasn't individual solitude, though I took
and you had a toddler too, so I'm sure it wasn't that quiet.
Yeah. You're telling me. Well, you know better than I. There was opportunity to have some just pure alone time, you know, when I was walking or hiking. But just the quiet of the trip, I think, was there. And to me, those two go together. Now, solitude, I think, is more than just being alone. I think it's being alone and meditating on God's word, what he is doing in your life, and what it means to be living for him each day. And to me, these two things, solitude and prayer, go really well hand in hand, specifically in walking. And, you know, I think one of the things of what it might look like for someone who's unfamiliar with spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices to start, and this is just because I have found it most accessible to me, and it was actually, I remember hearing it really suggested by Pastor Sam, is going for a walk. Not taking your AirPods, not even listening to worship music, not listening to a sermon, just going for a walk. And to me, that's been something that I've been investing in, specifically in the morning when my body is tired, but my spirit feels most awake. Right in the morning with a cup of coffee. That's the only thing I take with me, cup of coffee. And to me, that is a place where the air is crisp, it's quiet, and yeah, I think it gives opportunity to hear the Lord's voice, to pray and not be as distracted, and also the benefit of the settling of your spirit I think, so that you're more attuned to hear something after.
Yeah, I think early in the morning, you know, so for me, I'm a runner, so I like to run, and that's my time in the morning to just connect with the Lord. And I think some things that, you know, people that miss out on when they don't go outside very much is just the beauty of God's creation. And, you know, sometimes there's some pretty amazing sunrises and things like that that you miss out on if you're just inside all day.
Yeah. Now sunrise, I'm not out of the house that early, but,
well, yeah, right now, I mean, sunrise is like 5:30, but during the spring and it's a little bit later.
Yeah. So to me, that's an accessible way to do something intentional. And I think sometimes with living the Christian life, like intentional or, you know, even scheduled is kind of like, it kind of is a, not a bad word, but it's like a, like you, what do you mean? You scheduled your time with the Lord, or you scheduled your prayer, but I think while there is a really important piece of our relationship with the Lord that is about the spontaneous combustion of joy and love and overflowing goodness and just those those serendipitous experiences, I think the day-to-day is far more scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
And to build in things that connect us to the Lord in our calendar, if you need to, is a way to prioritize our relationship with Him. Mm-hmm. And so I think, and that's what a spiritual discipline is
yeah.
you're doing something with intention for an achieved goal.
Yeah, so with spiritual discipline, sometimes they can end up being like check boxes, right? Like things,
yeah.
Oh, I just got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. Do you have any like safeguards or things in place for you personally that can help to make it so that it doesn't become just checking things off the box, but really continuing to say, this is a practice that's going to help enhance my relationship with the Lord, and not just, all right, I did it today and I'm going to do it tomorrow. And
yeah, that's a really good question. I probably personally would tend to fall on the I'm going to do this so I can check it off side of the boat. I'm the kind of person who will write something in my to-do list app after I've already done it so I can check it off. The first thing that comes to mind is for me, and this would be different for everybody, but it may apply to some people, is my connection with Mindy helps to balance. She is different than me in many beautiful ways, and this is one. I think she helps me see when, you know, maybe things are out of balance or are a little too regimented, and hey, you know, great, you went on these walks or whatever. She hasn't said that, but right, great that you're doing these things. What does that mean, or how are you experiencing the Lord? Because just because it's called a spiritual discipline, the ultimate goal is for it to draw us closer to and in deeper relationship with the Lord. So I think other people, I think prayer and fervent prayer that the Lord would guide us in our disciplines and grant us the discipline so long that it is moving us closer to Him every day. So those are two things that stand out.
Yeah. I think for me, that's something I just want to keep picking people's brains on, because I think it is so easy in our culture just to, you know, there's a lot of people that are very busy. And so it's like, I got to check this off so I can move on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. So just trying to get different people's opinions and different viewpoints on how are we able to be more intentional about our spiritual walk and our spiritual growth, but then at the same time, not make it so regimented that it's just becomes, you know, we lose the life out of it. We want to keep, continue to have the life in it too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and I don't think we can fool ourselves mm-hmm. for too long. I think for a little bit we can, but I think ultimately if our goal is to be in deeper relationship with the Lord, then if that is our true goal, then I think we experience, I know I have personally, when something is facilitating that, when mm-hmm. something is driving us toward that, and when something is just happening so that we can say it happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So we do have to be real with ourselves too, and just keep those self checks in mind. Yep. So Lauren, one of the things that we did before pandemic is we were challenging each other to read. And so we would challenge each other to read certain books, and we try to read them together, and then we would talk about them. But I haven't gotten a chance to catch up with you recently on any books that you've been reading. So I just wanted to pick your brain, see if there's any cool books that you've read recently and any that you would recommend to other people to read. Because I think that's one thing that I have been enjoying doing is really recognizing that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that have cool experiences with the yeah. Lord and are growing. And I don't want to just rely on my own personal experience with the Lord, but I want to learn from other people too. So are there any cool books that you would recommend to people or recommend to me so yeah. that I can read too?
Stop me if you heard this before. I love to read, but I wish I did it more.
Well, I know a lot of people that don't love to read, but wish they did it more. So yeah. I think it's a good step that you love it.
I like it. Maybe I overstated there. This isn't intended as the question, but I have to say, we're talking about spiritual disciplines. Reading the Bible, I first read the Bible. I was challenged to read the Bible cover to cover when I was in college by my discipler at the time. And I started that journey in a very specific time of my college experience and with specific priorities that were not as aligned with God's purpose. But I felt called to pursue this challenge, and a challenge it was. And, you know, there were many, many days, maybe even most days, where reading felt like the words were not leaping off the page. Mm. When you're going through Numbers or, you know, people talk about Numbers, it's early. What's really hard is when you get into Chronicles. And I went from front cover to back cover, and it took me a long time. Most days it did not feel like it was jumping off the page. But I think what I realized is that even when that wasn't, when it didn't feel that way, my putting myself there and saying, God, I want to be here with you. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what I'm getting out of it, but I want to be here with you on a trying to be daily basis over a long period of time. I felt like it did something to my spirit that I didn't know was happening at the mm-hmm. time. So not part of the question, but talking about spiritual disciplines, I can't go without saying God's word. For books I've read, I broke it down into three categories. The first is theology. For me, the two that stand out as landmark books, theological books, are J.I. Packer's Knowing God and C.S. Lewis' Mere Christianity. Mm. And the thing that I like most, that I treasure most about these books, is that they are rich, theologically rich and challenging, yet their ultimate goal is to have the readers come away more in awe of the Lord and not more impressed with what they know. Mm. Reading C.S. Lewis' Mere Christianity makes me really, really excited. I mean, he's such a storyteller, right? That's who mm-hmm. he is. Makes me so excited when Hudson can comprehend mm-hmm. to reread him Chronicles of Narnia and just really soak in this beautiful story, allegory of Christ's love for us mm-hmm. In the form of a story. So I would say those two from theology.
Cool. What are some of the other categories you have?
So the other two I had were inspiration and practical. From an inspiration perspective, there's just one, and that's Elizabeth Elliot's Shadow of the Almighty. Mm. And this is a memoir of her late husband, Jim Elliot, who was a missionary. They were both missionaries down in Ecuador. And he was killed doing missionary work. And she wrote this memoir about his life and his devotion mm-hmm. to God's purpose and calling on him. And it was one of those books that I read voraciously. It was hard to put down. Read it in a few days, and it left me, there's some books about Christian heroes that make it feel like, well, I could never do that. Do I think I will be a long-term missionary in a different country with imminent physical harm? I don't. But the way that she told the story of her late husband was, it felt accessible to be like, that passion he had, I can take that and live that every day in what I'm doing.
Yeah. So if that's something that you're looking for and you feel like you want to be passionate for the Lord, that might be a really good book to start off with.
And then from a practical perspective, I just read this. I read it just before we went to Portland. It's Jordan Rayner's Redeeming Your Time. And it's actually mainly like a productivity book. Mm-hmm. It goes into goal setting. It goes into OKRs, objectives, key results. It's a lot about goal setting, but it's told from the Christian perspective of what it looks like for Christians with the mission to glorify God in all things, to what it looks like for them to redeem and purpose the time they have. And so a lot of it is, productivity, kind of like your standard productivity books, a lot of the same sort of thoughts on that. But there is some very specific and I think spiritual discipline based takeaways that are specific to our lives as believers and what it looks like to live a productive life with the ultimate mission to glorify the Lord. Mm.
So if this podcast is something, or this episode is something that's been really resonating with you and wanting to be more intentional about your faith, that might be a really good book to start with so that we can help to just recognize the different priorities in our lives and how do we set them correctly so that we can be, I guess I'm doing air quotes, productive in our faith, in our spiritual growth.
You do air quotes, but I think that is a part of being here on earth as a human in love with Jesus is what does it mean to live out this life that he's given us, however many years or days left, and do that to the utmost in highest reflection of God's image.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So, Lauren, is there anything before we close that you'd like to leave our church family with?
Just that I've been really blessed by our church family. Sometimes I still feel like the newcomer, much less than I did, maybe in the first couple of years. But from day one, I have felt so accepted and loved. And every time, I meet someone new or my family comes to visit or, someone comes to visit Catalyst and I hear from them, this is a special family. Mm-hmm. This is a family who is excited to be together and worship the Lord together and not afraid to be who we are. So yeah, I'm thankful for, really thankful for this church.
All right. Thanks, Lauren, again for spending your time with us today.
Awesome. Thanks, Damon.
Okay. So for all of you listening, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.
Thanks for listening to the Engage to Flourish podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. You can check out more of our content on our YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook pages by searching for Catalyst Christian Community. If you want to check out our church in person, we meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Stanford Middle School in Long Beach. We'd love for you to come out and experience being a part of our church family.